What's going on, everybody, and welcome to yet another episode of Untapped North. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode, as we have yet another special guest joining us today. With the NHL trade deadline only 8 days away, and the Toronto Maple Leafs set to take on the Buffalo Sabres in the Heritage Classic outdoor game this afternoon, I wanted to bring you the first half of my chat from roughly 5 days ago, as I felt it couldn't have come at a more opportune time. With over 15 years at the Hockey News, he is the mastermind behind Hockey Unfiltered and a co-host of Hockey Unfiltered, the podcast with Dylan Waugh. Our guest is always outspoken and never shy to share their sports takes with you. Ladies and germs, grab your popcorn, sit back, and enjoy part one of my interview with none other than Mr. Ken Campbell. Let's talk about somebody who I think is having the best season of their career and one who seems to be developing their game more on a defensive level as of late, but that's Austin Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
I think Austin Matthews has a real good chance at the Hart Trophy this year. What do you make of that? Maybe that, you know, his prediction or my prediction for his chances of the Hart Trophy. And do you think there's even a chance he could win the Selke?
I do. I think that there's a chance he could win both of those trophies. In fact, I actually wrote a little while ago that I think he could end up winning the, like, if he really turned it on and won the scoring championship, which he still could. He's also got, I think, only 10 penalty minutes. He could win the Lady Bing. He could win the Hart. He could win the Selke. He could win the Art Ross Trophy, something no Toronto Maple Leaf has ever done before. I mean, the Toronto Maple Leafs have only had two Hart Trophy winners in their entire history, and the last one was Ted Kennedy, and it was a retirement gift in, I think, 55. So it's been like 67 years since they've had a Hart Trophy winner, and they could very well have one this year. The Selke, I'm not sure that the metrics make him a Selke winner. However, he is in Toronto, and there is a lot of focus on that, and there is a lot of there seems to be a lot of talk around that. So, I mean, that could very well carry him to it, in the end with the Selke as well. But with the Hart Trophy, I think he's obviously a very legitimate candidate. I mean, by every metric, he plays a lot of hard minutes, plays in a lot of defensive situations. He scores really, really important goals for the Toronto Maple Leafs, a lot of goals that put them in the lead in games, a lot of goals that, you know, cap comebacks, that kind of thing. Cause I do chart those things, and he's right up there in that category. So yeah, I would say definitely he's most certainly a very, very legitimate candidate for the Hart, and probably a decent candidate for the Selke. And then those other ones as well. Like, I mean, Lady Bing, like I'd have to check, but I think he's got 10 penalty minutes this year. You know, for me, a guy that plays that hard of minutes against, you know, obviously against competitors who are big and are trying to stop them all the time and are fouling them all the time, to be able to have only that number of penalty minutes, I think is pretty good too. So,
yeah,
he could be leading the NHL awards with a big armful of trophies this year.
Well, I don't think any of those are going to matter to him unless he's got the big one, which is that Lord Stanley's. But
right,
how do you think that success, you know, the team success in the playoffs ultimately determines the success of, you know, of the, obviously some of those awards are set in stone,
if you score, you know, you score the most goals, you know, things like that. But
That's another one he could win.
And that's it, right? So
forgot about that one.
Right. Yeah. So the Rocket, you know, the Maurice Richard Trophy, that's a possibility too. Do some of those trophies then ultimately depend on the team's success? Like, he probably won't win the Hart if his team doesn't do well.
Right.
Or
no,
what?
Like, he won't. Well, I mean, you know, like, I look at, I think a lot of people would say that the demarcation point for the Hart Trophy is making the playoffs. Like, if your team doesn't make the playoffs, you don't win the Hart Trophy. Like I personally think Dylan Larkin in Detroit is having a Hart Trophy caliber season.
Right.
But he won't win it, and he probably won't come close because the Detroit Red Wings are not a playoff team. They will not be a playoff team. They don't resemble a playoff team. Personally, like, as far as, you know, it's always the age old argument, right? Does it go to the guy who's most valuable to his team, or does it go to the best player? So by that metric of being most valuable to your team, I would argue Dylan Larkin's right there. You know, a guy like him is right there. You know, you look in New York, you look at Mika Zibanejad and Artemi Panarin, Chris Kreider, Adam Fox, those guys have all been outstanding this year, but there's so many of them, you know, which one do you pick? Right.
Right.
So I think that metric, he's got that covered, because they're obviously going to make the playoffs this year. They're one of the better teams in the league. They're one of the elite teams in the league. And one of the reasons why they're one of the elite teams in the league is because they have the best goal scorer, the best, you know, one of the best players, one of the best two-way players in the league. So I think, you know, I mean, full marks to him for all of the consideration he's getting right now, because he deserves it.
Now, that's obviously the upside of the Toronto Maple Leafs right now, but as of late, it's no surprise that they're struggling a little bit. They've coming into some bad habits again, similar habits like goaltending. Despite Campbell's hot start to the year, he's showing true colors of a, you know, first time true starter in the league. And I personally think it's wearing on him a little bit. Mm-hmm. What can the Maple Leafs do at the deadline or before it, if anything, that they haven't already done in previous seasons, though? Is there a player or multiple players that can truly push them over this, like, first exit slump?
Well, I think when you look at the Toronto Maple Leafs in the playoffs the last couple of years, everybody harps on their defense. And Kyle Dubas came out the other day and said, if anything, we're going to try and shore up the defense a bit, which tells me that Jake Muzzin, they don't know what's going to be happening with him.
Right.
I mean, he's their best defensive defenseman. He's probably their toughest player, with all due respect to Wayne Simmonds. You know, I mean, so he's a big piece. But if you look at the Leafs in the last three playoffs, it hasn't been their defense that has submarined them.
Right.
It's been goaltending. And it's been scorers who have gone dry. You know, in the last two playoffs, you know, the big four, Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, William Nylander, and John Tavares have not produced commensurate with their contracts. You know, and so you can say all you want that Mitch Marner's underrated. Go ahead and say that. But to me, a guy who's making $10.9 million and scores no goals in the playoffs is not underrated. I mean, he's got to bring it. Those guys have got to bring it. Those guys this year have got to bring it. And if they don't, they're in trouble, and they might be in trouble anyways because of the goaltending they're getting right now. It's not playoff caliber. And you know, I mean, who knows? Who knows where the Leafs are going to end up? I mean, Boston is pressing. Boston's pushing them right now. They're also pushing Florida and Tampa. So it's going to be a big cluster until the end, right? Until it all gets sorted out. But I mean, you go into a playoff series and you're likely playing either against the best goalie in the world in Andre Vasilevsky or Sergei Bobrovsky, who's having a real good comeback season with the Florida Panthers on a really good, really strong team. I just don't see where there's a path to victory. I don't see it. You know, even if they do go out and get a Marc-Andre Fleury, or if they do go out and get somebody like I dare say even a Braden Holtby or someone like that, I'm not sure I see a path to them getting out of the first round anyways.
No, I look back to that Leafs-Habs game from a few weeks ago, and Peter Mrazek had no clue where his goalposts were. And I don't know if he has any idea where they are recently at all. In his last, it hasn't been pretty for him. Keith keeps saying, oh, I think Campbell's real close to finding his game, close to finding his game. Where did it go? I get it. You have those laps. You're going to have those hiccups and stuff, but I think
maybe he's just a backup goalie though. I mean, we didn't know this year. That's all he was before this year. The guy's 30 years old and he just had his 100th NHL start this season. I mean, it's been a long road for him, and he's been a backup caliber goalie for a long time. So is it just a case that he had a couple of great months, which happens a lot to a lot of different guys? Or is he capable of doing more? I don't know the answer to that question. Right. I don't know that anybody knows the answer to that question, but there's a very legitimate case to be made that, hey, this guy was a backup and actually still is nothing more than a backup. And that's okay. But you can't hinge your Stanley Cup hopes on a backup unless, you know, starting May 1st, he becomes the Jack Campbell of October and November.
Yep.
You know, I mean, then you ride a hot goalie and you can go really, really far with that. But
only problem is the trade deadline is the only problem is the trade deadline is in, you know,
exactly.
Is it two weeks?
2 weeks from today. Two weeks from today.
Exactly. Yeah. And you don't have, and I know Dubas doesn't like to leave anything until the last minute. I mean, I watched that Amazon documentary on them, right? And seeing that behind the scenes look of the trade deadline was really entertaining. And he's not the kind of guy who, he doesn't like loose ends. He doesn't like to leave things unknown. He likes, you know, his surefire dealings. And is there a goalie? You mentioned Marc-Andre Fleury. Maybe he's the obvious one. I think the Golden Knights go out and try and finagle a way to get Fleury back on their roster for their playoff push. That's just my one trade deadline. That's my one trade deadline, like oddball, the Golden Knights will snag Fleury again. But well, I guess, you know, is there any other goalie that you think can fill that void? I mean,
I don't know. Do you
Freddie Anderson would be nice.
Yeah. You go out and get Craig Anderson. You go out and get to Anton Forsberg. You go out and get Anton Khudobin. You go out, you know, I mean,
somebody with playoff experience.
See, with me, I just feel like unless you've got one of about, I don't know, eight guys, six or seven or eight guys, you're just guessing with goalies most of the time anyways.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Because you pick up a hot goalie now. You pick up a hot goalie now at the deadline, and then he goes cold while your other goalies get hot, and you are in the same pickle.
Right. Maybe you just hope that Jack Campbell gets hot again at the right time and can pick it up. He may still be the only good option that they have. You know, I mean, they're pretty capped. They're pretty strapped. And depending on what they do with Jake Muzzin. And I mean, everybody talks about how, oh yeah, well now the Leafs have 4 point whatever million in cap relief. Well, not if he comes back before the end of the season. That only works if they pull a Kucherov on him, you know, or a Mark Stone with Las Vegas, and he stays out until the playoffs. But I don't know that Jake Muzzin is the kind of guy that's going to sit there and twiddle his thumbs for a couple of months waiting for the playoffs to start.
I don't think the Leafs are in a position to let him do that. If he's ready to come back, and when he's ready to come back, he's got to come back.
Yeah.
Like that's.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. You know, the problem is with the trade deadline is so many teams are capped out that it makes it really difficult. So it's got to be money in, money out. Right. So somebody's got to be willing to take some money in order for the Leafs to take some money back. And if you do that, then you're dealing assets, right? Then you're looking at your Nick Robertsons and your prospects, and that prospect pool was once very bountiful and now not so much. That's what happens when you contend and you keep trading away your first round pick and you keep trading away young players. You you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. You're banking on those guys that you're bringing in, putting you over the top, but invariably there's going to be that, you know, that crash in a few years after the whole thing sort of everybody ages out and then you've got nothing left. So it's kind of the cycle of the way the NHL goes. I mean, I've been waiting for Pittsburgh to do it for 3 years now and they still haven't, and they aren't this year either. So day of reckoning is going to come for them. I don't know when it's going to be.
Yeah. I mean, it's happening. I think of the, you know, I think of the Chicago Blackhawks as a team where it happens.
Exactly.
And yep. I think, you know, well, yeah, Boston would be the other next one to kind of take that plunge, if you will.
You know what, you know, when it happens to Pittsburgh, like everybody's going to be like, oh, okay, well, yeah. Okay, great. They won three cups. I mean, you got three Stanley Cup banners up there, right? It, you know, and in Boston, you even have one, you have one at least. In even Washington, you have one, and they're another team that'll be facing that at some point. You know, I look at a team like San Jose, and I think, you know, geez, I mean, you know, they were so close, you know, they were so close, and now they're so far away, and they have nothing to show for it. That kind of is the risk that you take. You know, there's no guarantee you're gonna even win one if you do this, but you kind of have to do it in order to give yourself a shot.
Yeah, San Jose is an interesting one because I think they thought they were one big forward and one major defenseman who they acquired in Erik Karlsson away from making that push. And it just went from hero to absolute zero in.
Yeah, went south very quickly. Yeah. Yeah.
How about that other Canadian team, the bitter rivals of the Toronto Maple Leafs, those Montreal Canadiens?
Yeah.
I think they need to cool their jets a little bit here.
Yeah.
They've won seven of their last eight. They're feeling good about themselves. And the only thing I can think of is if you continue to surge and have, you know, and draft in mediocrity, what is this all for? So first and foremost, what do you make of their recent success and resurgence under Marty St. Louis?
Well, I think it's impressive. I think it's really impressive. And obviously, Marty St. Louis has unlocked an awful lot of potential in an awful lot of players that weren't getting that chance in under Dominic Ducharme. I mean, you look at Cole Caulfield, he's a completely different player under Marty St. Louis than he was under Dom Ducharme. And, you know, I mean, now everybody's like, Dom Ducharme should feel badly because he ruined Cole Caulfield's chance of winning a Calder Trophy.
I was one who said that. I said that.
maybe. The thing is with Montreal is I put very little. There are two things that the Montreal Canadiens are doing that I put not a lot of stock in. I don't put a huge amount of stock in a big bump early when a new coach comes in, and I put even less stock in a team that goes on a big heater once the games don't mean anything. And these games are all, in terms of the playoffs, they're meaningless. Montreal could go, how many games they have left? What, 28, 20, whatever?
Yep.
They could likely go 27-0 or 28-0 or whatever they have left and still not make the playoffs. You know, so they're playing nothing games. There is absolutely zero pressure. Like there's less than zero pressure on them. There's no pressure. I mean, everybody is just playing loose. You know, they're playing for this new coach. They're playing with found money. You know, there's nothing to play for other than Shane Wright, you know, at this point, and they may play themselves out of that. When all is said and done, I wouldn't be surprised if Seattle's the worst team in the NHL this year, the way things are going.
Yeah.
So anyways, I think there is a purpose to it. I mean, because you don't want to ruin people. You don't want to ruin guys. You know what I mean? Like, and some of their guys, I think, were on the road to ruin. And now it's like, okay, at least, you know, so now, you know, does Brendan Gallagher say, okay, maybe it's worth sticking around. You know, maybe it's worth staying and building for a couple of years to build up to something, you know? But to me, when they traded Tyler Toffoli, that really told me that they were in a teardown. You know, I mean, yeah. I mean, it's one thing to trade Joel Edmondson or Ben Chiarot or,
or, you know, whomever you're going to deal among your older UFAs. But for a guy that had 2 years left on a really good, really, like, really team-friendly deal, and he was actually producing not great, but he was still one of the better producers on the team.
Yeah.
That told me that gave me the indication that Montreal was like, we're throwing up the red flag here. And, you know, yeah, we are going to try to build through some really high draft picks here. Because not just this year, I mean, people are talking about teams tanking this year. I mean, next year is the big year to tank. You know, you've got three prospects. You've got Connor Bedard, who right now, as we speak right here, right now, 16 months before the 2023 draft, is by far the number one prospect. You've got Matvei Michkov in Russia, and you've got Adam Fantilli, who's playing for the Chicago Steel and is going to be going to Michigan next year, who's a great, big, talented guy, any one of whom would be really good guys to build around, you know? So, I mean, that's sort of where, you know, when you tank, you don't just tank for 1 year, you tank for several years where you can get those really high picks,
right?
Like Arizona's doing right now.
Yeah.
And so when you do that, you know, like that was that trade, that Toffoli trade really kind of told me that that's what they were doing. And now what do you do, right? Now what do you do? You're on this heater. You're not going to make the playoffs. Now you don't know what you have. And you know, it's just, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, Jeff Petrie, a guy who is as good as gone, is playing great hockey now.
Yeah.
You know? So what do you do with all of that? I'm not sure. I think it's created a lot of uncertainty in Montreal. And it's, you know, I mean, it's something that, I would have thought that the Canadians were just going to go the rest of the year with Dom Ducharme and really just sell. And now, you know, the way they played for Dom Ducharme and the way they were performing made that like almost impossible. And if they had just been able to limp through the rest of this year, it might've been completely different.
I think the problem for that was because the Habs were very adamant that we are running Dom Ducharme this year. He'll be around for the whole year. I think they even came out and said that there was a statement made that he was going to be the guy. I'm of the belief that, you know, Jeff Gorton looked at how miserably his team was playing and how he couldn't capitalize on any assets come the trade deadline, because who wants to take a chance on a guy who's the leading scorer with 8 goals on a team.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I can maybe understand what, you know, the firing of him and moving on from Ducharme anyway, but you think they get a first round pick for Sherratt at least?
That's what everyone's saying. I think that's,
yeah.
I think whoever gives a first round pick for Ben Sherratt is wildly overpaying. I mean, in Philadelphia, you've got Justin Braun and Rasmus Ristolainen, who are by many metrics just as good or maybe even better, that you could get for a lot cheaper than Ben Sherratt. I think if that's what it ends up being, whoever pays that for Ben Sherratt is going to be overpaying for sure.
Yeah, he's, you know, aside from a couple of overtime winners, and yeah, he's a big body, and they keep coming back to his play last year in the playoffs. I think, especially that Leafs series anyway, they try, and anybody selling Ben Sherratt is going to tell you that he's the reason why they shut down Matthews and Marner and all those other guys. But
I think Carey Price had a little bit to do with it too.
Well, I think ultimately it comes back to what you said earlier with the big scores just going cold. Do you think a guy like Artturi Lehkonen can have some appeal?
I hope so. I know his dad.
Okay.
I'm good friends with his dad. So I hope he gets out of Montreal for his own sake. I hope Arturi Lehkonen gets out of Montreal for his own sake, because he has been miscast there from day one, in my opinion. I think he's a way better offensive player than any of the coaches there up to this point have given him credit for. And so Arturi Lehkonen, to me, that's a guy that I think could be a real difference maker in a trade. Like, he'd be the kind of guy, he would be like the Michael Kempney or the Michael Hanzus of the trade deadline. The trade where it's like, nobody really thought much of it at the time, but it ended up being probably the best trade of the trade deadline those years. Right. In 2014, I guess it was, when LA picked up Hanzus. And in 2018, when Washington picked up Michael Kempney, who's still there now, like, those ended up being the best trades of the trade deadline. I could see Arturi Lehkonen being that kind of a trade where you go, wow, I didn't know this guy was this good. Wow, I didn't know this guy was almost like Yari Lehtinen. You know, like, I didn't know this guy. And then he becomes a revelation as the playoffs go on, and he becomes a guy that could really do some damage. So for his sake, I hope he gets out of there, unless Martin St-Louis has different plans for him and plans to maybe use him on the power play, like, more than 0 seconds a game. I mean, he's a good player. He's a good player. I just don't think he's had the opportunity in Montreal to show how good he can be consistently.
Well, there you have it, folks. Thank you for tuning in to part one of this interview with Hockey Unfiltered's Ken Campbell. Please do not hesitate to give Ken and Dylan a listen on their podcast, Hockey Unfiltered, and be sure to check out Hockey Unfiltered with Ken Campbell at kencampbell.substack.com. If you haven't already done so, make sure you are following Untapped North on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And please make sure you smash like and share on today's episode. As always, you can visit us at www.untappednorth.com. Once again, folks, my name is Andrew Stewart. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you again to Ken for his time and insight as well. Have a great one, and until next time, peace.
Have a great time.